worked at a company one summer in high school, and there was an older gentleman I worked with, and I was learning how to do things, and every so often when I would mess up or do something I shouldn't do, he'd look at me with a kind of a grin, and he'd say, "Son, you ain't worth a Yankee nickel." I don't even know how much a Yankee nickel's worth, but I don't know. It must not have been much. A lot of us say things like that, but to me, it's a question that we should ask. How valuable am I? What is my worth? What determines that? Like, how valuable am I? Is it the way I look? How much money I have? The pleasure that I feel or I receive? The car that I drive? The home I live in? A certain amount of health? I read an interesting article last year, a couple of years ago, that said that the average human life, some people say, is worth about $10 million. But in a more important sense, spiritually speaking, a lot of folks say, "I'm not worth a lot because I'm not that good," or "I've done too many bad things and I'm not worth much." I think we need to ask ourselves the way God views us. How much does God think we're worth? How valuable are we to God? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is what is my worth to God? I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139, if you would, with me, please. Psalm 139, and that's where we're going to camp out this morning, mostly. Psalm 139. I want to say thank you for allowing me to speak this morning, and for, of course, y'all always being so very kind to me and my family. You guys feel like our family, and it's good to see a lot of our family here today to make sure I don't do too bad this morning. So, I'll say something else. I'm really glad Jared is getting to go speak in Virginia today. I know he's doing a great job. I appreciate him doing that, and let's keep him in our prayers. And I'm thankful for Bonnie and Jared being here, and I think he's doing a great job. So, looking forward to seeing him back, and I know there'll be a lot of good fruit from his trip. The reason we're choosing Psalm 39 this morning is because in this psalm, David is asking God to search him. "God, I want you to search me." Now, if I was going to search something out, would you say that would be something valuable? For example, if you went looking for a treasure, if you were searching out a treasure, I wouldn't be searching it out unless I thought it was something valuable, right? David is doing this because he wants to know if he's right with God. But I just want to say from the get-go in Psalm 139 and verse 1, you know that David, you know we are valuable because God cares enough about us to search us and know us. But I want to share four reasons specifically why we are very, very valuable to God. And that matters. It matters a lot. First of all, we are valuable to God because God knows us. He knows everything about us. I want you to read Psalm 139, verse 1 through 6 with me. Thanks to Brother Ricky for reading this for us this morning. Let's read it again together. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." You've got to be pretty valuable for somebody to know you that way, don't you think? To spend all of our years as married couples getting to know one another, developing an intimate relationship, knowing the food that we like, the places that we go, the temperature of the air conditioner, even though we don't adhere to it sometimes. We know each other. What does it mean that God knows everything about you? By the way, can I stop and ask a question? Does that make you feel good, or does that give you a little bit of anxiety? Notice what it says here in this passage. He says in verse 2, "You know my sitting down and my rising up." God knows when we go to bed. God knows when we get up in the mornings. God knows when we sit down to rest. God knows when we get up to work. He says, "You understand my thoughts afar off." I feel like sometimes I'm so far away from heaven, it's not even funny. I feel like I'm way out in Waterloo in a tree stand, or I'm down here working. But God always knows what's on my mind. Put your finger there in Psalm 139 and go to Psalm chapter 63, would you please? Psalm 63. Let me show you how valuable we are to God. One of the worst times I have, I think, being productive is at bedtime because I'm tired. I have to really work hard. Lauren and I have to work hard to put the kids in bed. You know that feeling, right? You're exhausted. And the last thing I want to do is have to think about things at night, late at night especially. I want to think about closing my eyes and going to bed. But that's not God. We are so valuable to God. Psalm 63 verse 6 says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." How valuable are we to God? Verse 7, "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice." God is there for us at night when nobody else is. Everybody else is asleep, but God is there watching over us, guarding us like the shadow of His wings. We are so valuable to God. I hope you know that this morning. Continuing on in Psalm 139, look in verse 3. Put your marker in Psalm 139. We're going to camp out there mostly. Let's look in verse 3. "You comprehend my path." The New American Standard says, "You scrutinize my path." I think about it like when we go with our kids. We went fishing recently, and there were these little bitty paths around the ponds, and I was watching every step they took, because if they got in that pond, number one, I was going to have to get in too. And it was cold. And number two, of course, they might drown. So I was scrutinizing everywhere they went. I was watching their path. In the Hebrew, the word at the very smallest part of a winnow grain, of a piece of grain, is what the writer is talking about here. God loves us. God cares about us. We're so valuable to God that He watches every move we make. Verse number 3 at the end, "You are acquainted with all my ways." God's familiar with us. Nobody knows us better than God. You think you know your child well. God knows us better than we know our children, and that's pretty good. Let me give you an example of that. Put your marker, if you don't mind, in Psalm 139. Go to John chapter 1. I want to show you how much Jesus knows us and how valuable we are to Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 48. I love the beginning of the life of Jesus because it just shows us the relationship He had with His early disciples. And He was introducing Himself to them, and He was showing them how much He cared about them, I think, in a lot of ways. In John 1, 48, Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" How do you know me? That's a good question, right? If someone came up to you and told you everything you had known and knew your name, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." How valuable are we to God? He sees us. He always sees us. He cares about us. So much so that in Psalm 139, you got your marker there? Flip back over with me. Psalm 139, verse 5. God has hedged us behind and before. Can I stop and ask you if you remember a man in the Bible by the name of Job? How valuable would you say Job was to God? It says in that passage, Satan said that the only reason Job served God is because God put a hedge between him, right? God put a safety barrier. And as soon as He took away that safety barrier, Job would sin. Well, did Job sin? Absolutely not. Because not only was Job valuable to God, but God was valuable to Job. Even though times get rough, even though you get disappointed, you know how much God cares about you, and you care about God. So much so that when we have difficult times, we remember, look in verse 5 of Psalm 139. "He has laid His hand upon us. That's such a tender phrase. Just like you would your child when your child is sick or your child is hurting, you put your hand on your child's head. That's how much we're worth to God. He puts His hand on us and He loves us that way. Well, let's look at one more thing that makes us valuable to God, and that He knows everything about us. God knows every word we speak. Verse number 4, there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You know, this gets a little dangerous for us spiritually, right? Because God knows when you're at school and you're saying things you shouldn't say. God knows when I'm at work and I'm saying what I shouldn't say. So we should all be thinking about the fact that every word we say, God knows. But I want to make it in a positive way too. Every single time you share the name of Jesus, He hears that. Every single time you give God the glory for the changing of the seasons or for the providence or for the provisions you have, God hears that. Because He listens to us. He hears us. Don't think of that in a bad way, because when you know, this isn't just about us not saying cuss words, or this isn't just about us not saying things we shouldn't say. It's about the fact that God's a good listener. Are you a good listener? We'll talk about this in a minute, but God hears every word we say. So do you think God is valuable? Do you think we're valuable to God? I hope you know that since God knows us so well, we are so valuable to God. I want to consider a second reason why we are worth so much to God. It's that God is always near. It's interesting to me how over time you realize, especially as a parent, that when you work long hours, that you decide what your worth is, not by the amount of money you have, but by the amount of time you can spend with your family, because you can make all the money in the world and yet you don't ever see your kids or your family. But God doesn't have that problem, because He's not limited by time or by money, because God is everywhere. Let's read Psalm 139 and verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's the land of the dead, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall follow me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from me, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Does it give you comfort to know that when you travel to a place like Boston, God's there? When it's 3 a.m. and you can't see your hand in front of your face, God is there. If you were to go into outer space, God is there. If you were to go into the deepest part of the sea, God is there. If we were to go into the Hadean realm where the dead are, God is there. Now, that's really important for a lot of reasons. But I want us to think about this fact. Just because God is everywhere does not necessarily mean God is always near us. Let me say that again. Just because God is everywhere doesn't necessarily mean God is always near us. I want you to think about a verse that's really important to us. And I want you to go to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Even though God is everywhere, that doesn't mean He is near us. James chapter 4 and verse 8. I think James in this chapter is really interesting, because he talks about running and he talks about moving in different directions. He says in verse 7, therefore, submit to God, that's draw near to God. Resist the devil, get away from the devil, and he will flee from you. You see that language there? Look in verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. What am I worth to God? The fact that God wants to be with me. The fact that God wants to spend time with me. The fact that God wants to hear the songs that I sing and see the things that I draw and listen to what I listen to. That's hard to describe, right? Because He's our Creator. He's all-powerful, and yet He cares about little bitty tiny me. About the hairs on my head, how few they are. About the things that I drive. He cares. What a comfort and joy that is to our hearts. Even more so when we're going through difficult times, right? I want you to flip over in your Bibles to Psalm 51. Would you turn there with me, please? Psalm 51. Has anybody went through a difficult time recently? Has anybody sinned recently and are struggling? I think that's when draw near to me and I will draw near to you really means something. Look at David. When he was away from God, he had taken Bathsheba and he should not have. He had sinned. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before you. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found." He says, God, I want you to find me. I want to find you when you speak, and blameless when you judge. God knows us and He is close to us and He will draw near to us if we will draw near to Him. Therefore, we are so valuable to God that He would have fellowship with us, that He would love us, that He would be with us. But there's a third thing. Let's not skip ahead too quickly. We are worth so much to God because He created us. Go to Psalm 139, if you would, with me, please. Back to Psalm 139. Got your marker there? Read verse 13 through 18 with me, please. He says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows, very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Isn't it interesting that God chooses to showcase His power in us? You have the fingerprints of God all over you. I think it's interesting how anytime we walk down the beach or walk around in the woods and we find something, let's say you find a compass, and you look at it and you think, what? Somebody must have dropped this, right? Makes sense. Well, and then another thing that probably makes sense is, well, somebody made this, right? We never think, I bet because of some explosion, this compass just appeared miraculously and it was perfectly put together. That doesn't make any sense, right? Or over a course of millions of years, through some type of mysterious means, this compass just gradually formed and the molecules just came together perfectly. That makes no sense. That's what a lot of people would have you believe today. Don't believe that lie. We were made by God because every creation has to have a creator. Let me give you some homework to do. And I have a book. I forgot to bring it. I wish I would have brought it. Go to YouTube and type in the development of from conception to birth of a child. The head, the hands, the feet, seeing that child, realizing that God all along was behind it. Look in verse number 13. God is forming that child in the mother's belly. God has protected that child in the mother's womb. David says in verse 14, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully because we can't understand this process like God can. We just step back and say, man, that's wonderful. That's amazing. Marvelous are your works, O God, and that my soul knows very well. How much are we worth to God that He fashioned us and made us? Verse 15. We were made in secret. We were skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God looked at us, verse 16, being yet unformed. And in some way, and I don't understand this, in His book, all of us were written. All of us were fashioned. All of our days. Because at one time we didn't exist, but God made us. Sometimes people will ask me, well, why did God make us? And I use this illustration, and I think it's right. Two parents who are acting responsibly and who are doing what they ought to do. The idea behind having a child is because you want to share the love that you have with that child. That's the ideal situation. Well, it's the same way with God. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, before time began, have so much love that what do? They don't keep it to themselves. They share it with their creation. That's how much we're worth to God. We see glimpses through sonograms, but for the most part, the development of an unborn child is unseen except by God. And not only that, but what did God give us? Not just a body, but a soul. A soul. A soul that we live on forever. We don't just die. Sometimes we talk about going to a place where the soul never dies. That's true. But the soul will never die. We want to go to heaven and be there because that's where the soul lives on. We don't want to go to hell where the soul lives on. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, we are valuable and precious to God. Can I give you one more reason why we're worth so much to God? It's that God hears us. God doesn't just hear us. God listens to us. There's a difference between the two, right? When you're walking into your job and you ask God, God, please be with me today, He hears. When you see your child getting on the bus or going to school and you think, oh man, please God be with my child, God hears. That's because we're worth so much to God. Read with me in Psalm 139 and verse 19, if you would, please. Psalm 139 and verse 19. When we look at the world and we think it's insane, we watch the news and we think, man, what's going on? And we say, God, help us. Help right to come through. Help wrong to be punished. God hears that. And David is kind of doing that here when he says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. What David is saying here is not that he hates people, but that he hates wrong. He hates evil. Are we going to look out at this world and understand it perfectly? As an older man used to tell me that I used to go to church with, that's whittling on God's end of the stick. I'm not going to understand it all. But I tell you one thing I can know. Wrong is wrong and right is right. I can talk to God about it. I can pour out my heart to Him. And because I matter to God, He hears me and He's going to take care of it. That is something I can have faith in. We don't have to worry about untangling every sticky situation in this world. We just have to worry about serving our God because we are worth so much to Him. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, basically verse 3 through 4, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm going to let God handle things. The church at Corinth is sticky. I'm going to let God handle this thing. And he did. Look at verse 23 through 24. God hears us. David asked this question as a result of all of the things we've talked about today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Something happened to me just this morning. I was logging into the Google account here, and what did it ask me for? It asked me for a password. And then it asked me to verify. Okay. It wanted to know if I was the real thing. When David looks at God and he sees that God knows everything about us, that God is always near us, that God created us, that God hears us, David says, God, verify me. Help me to know I'm the real deal. Search my heart. I want to be right in your eyes. Because I know how much I'm worth to you. Imagine telling God to do anything, okay? We can ask God to verify us. We can ask God to help us with our anxieties. We can ask God to know our heart. We can ask God to forgive us of our sins. Because we are worth so much to God. And finally, look at the last verse of verse 24, the last sentence. Lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, God, help me go to heaven. It's the most important thing of all. But help me to be with you always because I know how much I am worth to you and how much you mean to me. And I think that's a good invitation. Don't you think so? If we're worth this much to God, and we know we are, have you realized how much He is worth to you? Have you asked Him to help you to be led in the way everlasting? It begins by understanding that He sent Jesus to die for you. That's the most valuable sacrifice of all. If I got up here and just said, what am I worth? All I have to do is say Jesus. And that explains it all. God sent Jesus to die for us. And if you're not a child of God this morning, if you haven't believed in Jesus, if you haven't turned away from your sins, know how much you're worth to God and do that. Maybe you're already a child of God and you're serving God and you're not doing what you ought to do. Remember how much God cares about you, how much you're worth. You can come back to God. Don't be afraid. If there's any way we can encourage you or help you this morning, let us do so now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.